Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump. Today's episode, we give you a full body machine only workout that you can follow for great results. Now, this episode is brought to you by one of our sponsors, NASM. You already know who they are. They're one of the best premier certification companies in the world for personal trainers and online coaches. NASM is the leader, and they have something new. This is pretty crazy. It's called NASM One. $35 a month. You get 50% off all their new certifications. Plus, you get access to over 300 or more CEUs, which are included in that, for free. So you get to learn a bunch of stuff for free. Plus, you get an app that you get to manage all your clientele through. Things like macros, workouts, workout videos. You could do billing. There's an option on there to do video conferencing with them. All of that for $35 a month. And it's NASM, so you know it's super high quality. This is a revolutionary system for the industry. Go check it out. Go to mpnasm.com. Also, this month's workout program sale, MAPS Anabolic and MAPS Anabolic Advanced are both 50% off. If you're interested, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and then use the code MARCH50 for that discount. All right, here comes the show. When it comes to strength training, you have many options, most notably free weights and machines. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the best machines, or to be more clear, a machine-only workout that you could do for your body, utilizing the machines that we deem to be the most effective.
I like this. This is
different.
I mean, well, we're
so negative about them usually. I'm trying to be nice on this.
Well, I think it's important to explain that, right? Why I think, because the benefits of free weights and barbell training is just far superior than training on machines, regardless of what you hear on the internet and the arguments that are there. And we've talked about that at length in other episodes. But I do think there's time where you're traveling, or, hey, I've been training this way for a long time. This is a nice interruption. And so I think the idea of putting together a workout that one of us would do at a gym where we're not going to do any free weights, what would it look like? What machines would we choose? Why might we choose those machines?
Yeah.
And how would we put together a really good workout?
Yeah, if I had to do like a total body type workout, like what would that consist of? Like there's definitely a few machines I'd probably steer towards more so than others.
Yeah. Now, ideally, now I know a lot of times that the question is posed as machines versus free weights. And we've had episodes like that. But the truth is, a good, well-balanced routine, especially one that you follow for years and years and years, and hopefully that's the case, right? Hopefully you start a workout routine and you never stop. You always follow it. It shouldn't use both, right? Machines and free weights, because using them both gives you the best of both worlds, ideally speaking. But there are times when you might want to just do machines. They tend to be faster, easier. Big box gyms will typically have these machines that we're going to talk about to be available. And they do feel different. There are pluses
and minuses.
A little
less damaging, I would say, a little bit.
Yeah. So I've been now using primarily machines for the last maybe 6 weeks on purpose. I've never done a machine only work out for any length or period of time. Typically when I do, it's like what you said, Adam, when we're traveling. And I'm noticing a few different things. Of course, they require less stability and support than free weights do, which means that you're not going to gain the same stability and support type of gains or strength that you would get from free weights. However, the other side of that is it's less damaging. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I do a press or a row or whatever with a machine versus its free weight counterpart, for the same reps, same intensity, right? Let's say I'm pushing them both really hard. It just damages the body less. Now, that allows me the ability to train more often. I'm less likely to overtrain. I could do more sets, add more volume. Of course, that means with free weights, I might be able to do less and get the same type of results. But it does cause less damage. And so it feels different on the body. You know, going real hard on a machine overhead press just doesn't hammer you like a barbell overhead press. And there's some value. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes you're overstressed. Or sometimes you want to work out longer, which is mm-hmm. what I'm doing right now. I'm going in there. I'm trying to get more volume in. And I can't get away with that, you know, with free weights.
Yeah, I think we've always recognize that there's value, especially too if you're rehabbing and there's limitations with your function at the time. So you have to be mindful of certain amounts of ranges of motion and your capacity with that and being supported in positions like in seated yeah. positions. And I think like that's where machines really shine in terms of helping you to still express your muscle contraction and get blood flow and still kind of that really does then aid and contribute towards rehabilitation and healing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's benefit with that. And then two, the fatigue point, like you do get fatigued with free weights, and then it becomes a little bit more risky because if you can't really brace and really control your body to its full degree, you know, that you kind of leave yourself open for injury sometimes.
So I've actually trained for an extended period of time like this for a long time, way too long, because I came from that camp of like feeling a muscle, right? Yeah. Like that was like the best way to build or work a muscle was like how well could I target it and feel it. And, you know, there's one of the great things about machines is do a good job of targeting specific muscles.
Oh, it's why bodybuilders like machines.
Right.
It's easy to isolate a muscle on a machine because everything's supported.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely was in that camp for a long time. Now, the reason why I think we probably haven't done this episode and why we talk primarily towards like why everybody should be training and lifting free weights is because like all of us at one point had figured out, like, I've seen the difference, and it's like a drastic difference of the gains that I got from training free weights in comparison to all the years of training on machines. And so I definitely am way more of a fan of teaching my clients free weight training, but there are places for training like this. So I'll still interrupt my free weight training with a day like this occasionally. And a lot of that time is when I'm either one felt like I've overreached and I've trained too much. And so I'm kind of sore. And so I want to go in there. I'm trying to reduce intensity. Or if I've just been consistent with free weight training for a while and I hadn't done that, or if I'm traveling, like those tend to be the reasons why I would interrupt my normal training cycle now with this.
Yeah, I think there's also a lot of value for the advanced lifter, because the advanced lifter, when you've been practicing with strength training for a long time, you're able to activate more muscle fibers with a set than somebody who doesn't have that same experience. And so using a machine, isolating a muscle group, and then pushing the intensity, you're going to get some good hypertrophy benefits. This is why what you'll notice with high-level bodybuilders is they typically start with free weights. This is where they build the majority of their muscle. And then they start to move more to machines as they become pros and get even bigger and larger. Like, if you're a 270-pound bodybuilder, you know, doing a standing barbell overhead press, you're going to exhaust yourself after five sets. And it's going to be tough to finish the rest of your workout versus sitting in a shoulder press machine that the track is set. You just push, come up. You don't have to stabilize as much and balance as much on the body. It allows you to finish training the rest of your body. Now, for someone who's not a pro bodybuilder or whatever who's listening right now, it's great to combine the two. So now you can look at higher volume workouts, lower intensity, higher intensity, and you can start to piece these things together. This is why workout programming can sometimes be so complicated, because all these factors come into play, like a squat machine versus a barbell squat, same volume, same intensity, same tension, not the same effect on the body, different considerations for what exercises you follow up with, how many sets you do, and so on. Like one of the big things I notice with machines is I push the intensity harder and I feel okay. Like if I go to failure on a machine, it does not feel like going to failure on free weights. And this may be why sometimes we hear in social media, these fitness influencers say you always have to train to failure. I wonder if it's because that's what they train primarily on machines. And they notice that that intensity needs to be
could
there.
Could be a factor for sure.
It could be. And so, and I'm finding myself pushing that intensity higher with machines than I would with free weights. But the isolating part is a good one. Like if you sit on a machine and try to isolate your rear delt or try to isolate, you know, your triceps or, you know, your upper chest or you know, mid chest or the mid back, you're not worried about stabilizing, controlling. You're not worried about, you know, having to hold your body in a particular way. You are there. You're set in that position. In fact, when I would train clients, I would often use machines to teach a client to contract a muscle in a particular way, move a particular way, so that later we would have some of the strength to then be able to do the free weight version of that particular exercise.
Now you talk about, you know, programming and why it can be very nuanced, right? But there are some rules that still apply regardless if we're talking about free weights or machines. And one of those would be how you prioritize exercise selection, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we started off with legs. I do want to explain though to the consumer that's, or the general population that might follow this is that, you know, we prioritize them in big muscle groups, right? So most of your energy goes to like a leg machine. But if you were someone who had a specific body part that you were trying to develop, that would take priority.
You would put that first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just keep
that. Generally speaking, you would start.
Right.
You would start with legs.
Right.
And move through to the smaller muscle groups and you'll get better results this way. Now, this is a full body workout and you could follow this workout 2 days a week and you could get away with this workout without developing muscle imbalance or anything for a good 6 weeks or so. And you'll probably get some decent results, but you will want to mix this up at least after that period of time because it's the same exercises over and over. There is no stability component and you may start to develop movement pattern issues. Yeah. Now, the first exercise, we said legs. And this, we discussed a little bit about whether or not we would put a leg press here or a hack squat. I think those are the two best lower body compound lift exercises that you could do that will produce kind of the biggest bang for your buck. Yeah. Most muscle, most strength, most performance.
And I think initially I thought of a leg press because you could really load it substantially, but you guys talked me out of it with the range of motion.
Because
you
do true.
Get a superior range of motion with a hack squat. So you can express that, you know, a little bit more effectively and really get that posterior chain a little bit more.
I also thought that we agreed on machines that should be in pretty much every gym too, right?
Because
there's examples of like, I mean, I would love a belt squat machine right here.
Oh yeah,
I know.
But
not easy to find.
No, not easy to find at all. I mean, it's rare to see them in a gym. But I mean, it would be awesome. But
like a reverse hyper.
Yeah, the idea, and really, I think what we thought about was like, man, most everything in here would almost be in a hotel gym. I mean, most of these exercises
they're staple machines.
Yeah, they're staple machines in every major commercial gym. And so, as the listener, that might be go, oh man, I would do this, because you have some really cool machine at your gym that nobody else has.
You know, one thing I want to add before we continue, in our time of working in gyms, which has been a while now, I've been working in gyms for 2.5 decades. We saw the emergence of plate loaded machines, which didn't exist before. Before, machines were selectorized, meaning you moved the pin and it was a weight stack. And then all of a sudden, Hammer Strength, they were the first ones to come out with plate loaded.
Hammer Strength,
and they became very popular because. And now you think to yourself, what's the difference if you add a plate to a machine versus moving a weight stack? Well, the difference was Hammer Strength tapped into how tension works throughout the body, and it mimicked free weights more than machines did. In other words, with a press or a row, what you'll find is one portion of the rep will be easier than another portion of the rep versus most cable-led, you know, selectorized machinery. If you put 75 pounds on the machine, it's 75 pounds from the beginning to end. Whereas with a Hammer Strength or other plate-loaded equipment, now there's lots of plate-loaded equipment. what you'll find is it'll be loaded. It'll feel the heaviest at the part you're the strongest and easiest at the part where you tend to be weakest, because the way that they design them with the angles and the leverage, the free weight will get heaviest or opposed gravity most at the times when they're most opportune. This actually makes plate loaded machines more effective, in my opinion, in many ways. And we will talk about one particular plate loaded piece of equipment here. But a hack squat, I you know, we think it's better than a leg press because the range of motion. I mean, do a leg press, see how far you move the platform. Do a hack squat, see how far you move the platform. It's just a greater, fuller range of motion. And it it probably has a little bit more carryover into the everyday world because it's mimicking a squat. Whereas a leg press is, you know, I'm on my back pushing something away from me, which you don't really get too
much.
Might
as well be in a recliner. Yeah. Just like throw some weights.
Yes. Well, I've seen someone, if you can hack squat really good way, you're sometimes a decent squatter. I mean, there's some carryover into even the barbell squat there. I've seen people that could stack and load the entire leg press that can't squat 225.
No.
So that there's
because there's no stability in the core.
Yeah, it is just.
They're always the biggest peacock.
It's that different. I mean, it's that different that you could get really strong at the leg press and yet still can't even squat 225 pounds. You start pushing 300-400 pounds on a hack squat, you're probably able to squat 225 barbell back squat. Yeah. So there's a lot more carryover, I think, to it too. So I think that's just another example of why we chose a hack squat over the leg press.
Next would be a seated or lying hamstring curl. Now here's an exercise you can't really mimic very well with free weights.
Yep.
There really isn't a leg curl. I mean, I guess you could do like a what's a Nordic curl?
Yeah.
But good luck doing that.
Those are really challenging.
Unless you're really strong.
Yeah.
A lot of skill involved. You can do a physio ball leg curl, but you're not getting the same
stability.
And both those are great movements, right? Not to knock them. But one of the things that lying leg curls also keeps tension on the muscle, the full range of motion too, where you lose that with Nordic curls. You're at the top of the curl. It's much easier at the very end. It's extremely difficult. And so finding a range where you can actually complete the rep and then actually still get a good workout all the way through.
I'm curious. Are you guys more prone to doing the seated or the lying? I personally prefer doing the lying hamstring curls.
You know what? I enjoy both.
I like the seated because the seated puts my hamstrings in a more of a stretch position at the end of the motion.
Oh, see, I feel more in lying, I guess.
To stretch?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I don't think it's a big difference, although both of them are loading it a little bit differently, but the main motion is
the seated is easier to have better form. The lying, people's hips tend to shoot up and come off of it. And they also tend to move and flex their feet and their ankles. And so it ends up feeling it in their calves or they let their hips rise off. So it takes a little bit better or a little bit more technique to do the lying. I feel like the seat is really easy to do, but I'm with you. I feel the stretched more in line. I like both. I mean, these are actually movements that even if I'm training, mostly free weights, I still will have this. This is one of the few.
How do you work the leg? So the hamstrings, I mean, there's a few heads of it, but one part, the leg bicep, you really only work when you flex the knee, like fully. And you can't do that with free weight. Now, deadlifts, stiff-legged deadlifts, Romanian deadlifts, I mean, you work the whole hamstring,
the hinge,
but you're not getting that leg curl.
Yeah.
You know, that leg
bicep. Which is why this is one of the few that actually still find its way into my free weight training.
Totally.
I'm still going to do this exercise.
Totally. Next is the cable row. Another exercise that I would say if I was only doing free weights, I would inject cable rows in there. I like cable rows because you can load them. There's still a stability component, but you're not bending over, holding a weight, which requires a lot of stability. Like one of the drawbacks, can also make it a plus, but I'll say one of the challenges of like a barbell row is you need to be able to stabilize and hold yourself
back.
Yeah. While rowing the weight.
Yeah.
With a cable row, the positioning, you're not fighting gravity. You're still fighting the weight, but it's easier to stabilize yourself. Now, what I love cable rows with clients because to get a client to depress, right, bring their shoulder blades down and back to get that nice open chest, squeeze back position, teaching them in a bent over position with a barbell row or two dumbbells is so hard. It's like it naturally makes them want to roll their shoulders forward.
it's valuable seated row? For anybody.
Yeah.
Even if they're like a beginner or if they're not a beginner, like just to learn how to combat a lot of the daily habits that we have of reaching for things in front of us, sitting, you know, with our protracted shoulders, to be able to get back in good posture and retract the shoulders and keep that chest high, but then also reinforce that by strengthening it. They feel an immediate difference and a good feeling after.
So this is maybe, and I'm trying to rack my brain right now and go like, was there a time that this isn't true? But as far as I can remember, this is true. The single most used exercise I'd ever done with every single client. I don't think I've ever had a client I did not teach seated row. In fact,
this is the first back
exercise. This was the first exercise I would do a lot of times.
Yeah, because it's a teaching moment.
It's such a teaching moment. For
I would do it in my assessment.
Yes. Yeah. For overall posture. Even before I go, we talk so highly of like things like the barbell back squat. If your client doesn't know how to retract and depress their shoulders to even set the bar on their back, you want to be
able
to.
They're not going to be able to bench press well either.
Yes. So this is such an incredible movement that I would say if I had to go back and assess what exercise did I use the most out of all exercises in the gym, I'd probably say the seated cable row.
Yep.
Like there was, I don't care how old you were. I don't care what your goal was. This was a staple movement that I either used to teach and get you going on it, or it was a staple movement in your routine all
for
the time.
For trainers, this is invaluable because what you do is you put your client in position. You have them sit upright, and it's not hard for you, of course, get the permission from the client, to place your hands on their shoulders and help them move in position and move and contract and get this nice full squeeze in the mid-back, which they probably haven't felt for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's try doing that with free weights. You can, and I've done it, but it's really hard because now you're battling gravity. You're fighting them trying to round their back, and they have to learn how to hip hinge.
Work on bracing properly.
Yes, and yes, yes, yes.
Well, and it directly opposes what everybody is almost – like everybody is challenged with. I don't think I ever trained a client that didn't have some form or another of
forward shoulder
and forward head. And so we do everything in front of us that movement is so important to develop those muscles that bring the posture into that position that – it was a go-to. It was a starting for everybody. It was a staple exercise I kept. And so that has to be in this
now workout. For just pure muscle building, also up there. This is also a great exercise for just general overall muscle building of the back. Now, as far as handles are concerned, there's a lot of different handles and people make arguments for each one. The traditional narrow handle, I think, is probably the easiest for most people to use. If you go real wide, now you can get more upper back and rear delt and all that stuff. But just in general, cable row has got to be one of the best ones.
Agreed.
All right. Next up is a plate-loaded chest press. Now, I wrote plate-loaded here instead of machine selectorized because when hammer strength is the first one to really do this. But what you'll notice when you do these is, first off, the way the resistance feels as you press the weight up allows the weight to feel heaviest at the end where you're strongest, lightest at the bottom where you're not as strong. So it follows this natural strength curve, which we know through training with bands and chains makes a big difference. Also, hammer strength was the first one that I know of, at least in mainstream, to change the angle of the press so that your hands are further apart at the beginning and they slowly come together, at the top, which is like if you understand what the pecs do, they bring the upper arm, the humerus, into center line. So rather than pressing straight out, which a barbell fixes your hands, right? So you still get that motion. But with a plate loaded, because the hands come together, you actually get a greater range of motion. This actually makes it a pretty damn good exercise for the chest.
Yeah. Now, did you guys have a favorite? Because what's kind of cool about these is they have, the upright vertical press. Yeah. They have the incline version of it. They even have the flat, at least the gym that I was at, they had the flat.
Where you lay on your back?
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I like the one where you lay on your back.
Yeah. If you can get a hold of that one,
that's the best. I always see the incline the most, I think. And that's the one I usually do.
That's probably my second favorite, right? So if I had an pick, if the gym had a lying on your back press, then I would do that. Then the second one would probably be incline.
Now, here's a kind of a side note. I like the sitting up plate loaded chest press for my elderly clients, my clients with high blood pressure, my clients who had trouble laying on their back. Mm-hmm. And for trainers watching this, if you're watching this, you're young, workout, you think, what are you talking about? Well, you take a client in their 50s who's out of shape or 60s who's out of shape, you have them lay on their back. Some of them can't even touch
out of it. Sometimes they'll pass out.
Yeah. And sometimes they can't even touch their head to the bench because they have such bad forward head, and you'd have to put things underneath their head to do a sitting up chest press. made it easier for me to get them in that motion. Of course, the goal was to get them to be able to lay on their back at some point. Yep. All right, next up, one exercise on the Smith machine.
I love that you had to put this in here.
I went to the bathroom and then somebody slipped this in here.
If you go back far enough on the podcast, you've heard me talk about, especially bodybuilding days, when we would talk about the Smith machine, and I know we would roast it a lot of times. And I agree. I admitted that I used to love doing it for shoulder press.
Yes.
Because I didn't need a spotter for it, right? It's like an exercise that I could really push the weight. Also made it great for strip sets or drop sets, which I love to use it for too. So I actually really liked the Smith machine for shoulder pressing, which is, I believe, the original purpose of it. It's been used for a million different things now, because like everything else in the gym, we get creative with it. We make up exercises that you can do on it. But
was that the first exercise?
I believe that it was. Yeah, it was designed for upper body, and I think primarily for shoulders what it was originally for. I have to look up the creator of it. But I remember when I'd see people doing lower body movements on it, I'd always comment on like, that's not the intent. The creator of it did not intend it to be for lower body exercises.
Now, do you do it with the back supported incline where you bring it all the way to vertical when you're pressing?
Yeah, so I'll have like a slight incline. So it's way, way higher than a chest incline, but it's not quite fully 90 degrees.
It's not fully
degrees.
Upright.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can bring the bar all the way down to my collarbone.
This is why I like the Smith machine seated press. It's most bodies can do it, whereas machines sometimes, if you're too tall, too short, it doesn't work. And it's a barbell, so you can move your hands in and out, again, fitting most people. And it's a nice full range of motion, overhead press. In fact, the Smith machine seated press was how sometimes I would teach a client to be able to get full extension. If I put them in a seat that supported their back and then had them press up. And so this happens too with a lot of clients. They can't get that full extension.
Yeah.
They can't get it all the way up. Then what I would do is I'd place my hands on the barbell, I'd press it up for them and pull their hands up, and then I'd see if I could let go and create a nice isometric contraction at the top.
I remember clients like that, and it was always a tell for me when I would see them go to press and they would lift their heel.
Yes.
And you realize that, like, that's just a natural inclination, is to get higher up. Yeah. So your body just kind of comes up with
isn't
the
heels that funny?
Too. Yeah.
By the way, some Smith machines, I'd say a good percentage of them now, don't just move the bar straight up and down. What you'll notice is there's a slight angle to the barbell. This is actually beneficial when you're doing an overhead press. When you press up with the barbell, you bring the weight up and then you kind of bring it back over your head for a nice straight position. With a Smith machine that goes straight up and down, if it goes in front of you, it stays in front of you. Some of them, many of them now, actually have an angle to where it actually ends up directly above your head when you press it up.
Oh, wow.
So if you have the option, get the one that has a slight angle. Most people don't even notice. But that would be the one that I would.
Yeah, pick. Again, though, the idea of picking the Smith machine was knowing that every gym has, even your hotels have a Smith machine on there.
Accessible.
Because, I mean, you can make the case for like a Viking press, I think, is one of our favorite.
I wish you could,
but
I mean,
don't
find that
again,
anywhere.
you don't see. So I know, again, there's going to be people that hear this and be like, oh, man,
nice.
This shoulder.
I will put an honorable mention. If you're learning to do an upright row for your shoulders, Smith machine's a great way to learn it because it's on a track. And some people have a lot of trouble trying to figure out where to place their elbows and do an upright row. Smith machine makes it a lot easier, although the free weight version is, I think, superior.
Yeah.
Next up for triceps, this is much more common nowadays. In fact, I rarely ever see a normal gym that doesn't have this machine. In the past, it was actually quite rare. In fact, when I was a kid, if I saw one of these, I'd run to it. It's a dip machine. You actually see these quite a bit now, where you sit in the chair, you grab the handles behind you, and you push them down.
Yeah,
I like it.
And they usually have like the plate-loaded ones where it gives you that support. On
yeah.
The way you put your knees on it. What do they call that?
Oh, like you're talking about the Gravitron.
Gravitron.
Or the knee-supported one.
Yeah. So, I mean, just because honestly, like it dips, it seems like it's a very simple exercise. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have a hard time with the strength involved in a dip. And so if that's your issue, and you know, a lot of our alternatives is like taking a rubber band and kind of helping aid in that support. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a good machine they have for that is pretty helpful.
Yeah, yeah, in fact, I would say that's the best version of the dip
machine. They have that a lot, too. That's a pretty common, like, different versions of that, but basically the Gravitron or whatever that supports the knees when you do that.
That's the brand name, by the way.
But this Gravitron was an actual machine. Is it? Yeah. I know there's a bunch of different ones that they...
Don't do the leg extension version of that.
Turn that into an influencer. Glute exercise.
I mean, part of why it's up there for us too is it's like a compound movement for your triceps, right?
Yes.
It's such a great movement, and why would we not do kickbacks or overhead extensions or pushdowns? Like, those are all isolation movements, and you get so much more growth and gains from doing dips.
Plus, you get good range of motion in the shoulders.
Yeah,
you get some nice functional development. In dips in general, are one of the best movements you could do for the upper body.
Yeah.
And most people can't, or I'd say many people can't do a good full body, weight dip.
When I first started lifting, I'll never forget the first day getting our gym membership, and my buddy took me over to a dip bar, and I couldn't even do one dip. Mm. I didn't have enough upper body strength to do it. And so avoided it for a really long time. It wasn't until coming back to it later on and realizing how much benefits come with the dip.
Yeah. All right, next up would be a bicep exercise, and this has got to be the easiest machine to find in any gym, because I think any gym will have it. It's a preacher
very
curl.
Very popular.
A preacher curl machine for the biceps. Now, preacher curl, because I think it's easy to set you in position, lock your elbows in place, work the biceps. I will say this, every machine, by the way, has a axis of rotation or a joint in the machine that you want to line your joint up with to make sure you're in the right position, because your arms may be longer or shorter. And if you don't line up your elbow with the joint of the machine, then you'll find your wrist and hand doing weird things as you're trying to curl the weight up.
A preacher machine is actually another one of those exercises that, even as I moved away from a lot of machine training, it still found its way regularly in my routine, just because even though you can do a free weight preacher curl, the tension is different.
Yeah.
When you're on the machine, you've got full tension the entire range of motion through the movement, where when you're doing dumbbells, you get that great dumbbell stretched position. But then when you get to the top of the preacher curl, mm-hmm. I mean, you could sit there all day and hold that in that position, where when you're in the machine, you've got that tension still there. You can't, you're in a flex position.
Totally.
So one of my favorite exercises to do.
Now, you'll notice we didn't put calf machines here, because most people use calf machines anyway when they work calves. And core, because I don't know about you guys, but have you guys ever used a good core machine?
It's always contrived.
It's always hip flexor. I've never found
a good...
It doesn't
set you up for success.
No.
You know, I find
cables you could use.
Not only that, but I also feel like your core... Because your core muscles, the primary is to stabilize, right, the spine and support your posture. It's such an important thing to learn how to do just your body. To be able to do that, like to fit in a machine just to build abs, so my abs look good, is one thing, but it's that your core muscle is so functional. So learning to train it through functional movements of just your, I think, is superior anyway. So even if I was trying to, I mean, and you don't need anything. You could do reverse curls laying on the ground, or full lever sit-ups, or crunches.
They have yet to invent a machine that really.
No.
In fact, I've used core machines, and I can make them work my core well, because I know how to make my core do the work. I have never seen anybody go in one of those and do it and not turn into a massive hip flexor exercise. You know, so
they feel it once the hip flexors are fatigued.
And their abs feel tired from stabilizing, but that's it. Yeah. All right, so sets and reps. You can do, because these are machines, you can go up to 4 or 5 sets of each of these exercises, and you want to keep your reps in that 8 to 12 rep range, although cycling through lower and higher reps is probably a good idea, especially if you follow a routine like this for longer than just a few weeks.
That being said, the way I use it is the way you just prescribed it, though, which is I'm normally gonna do about 4 sets of this, and I'm gonna stay somewhere between 10 and 15 reps.
100%.
I mean, I'm
the really low rep for machines.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not that you can't do it, and it doesn't have video. There's plenty of science to support. There's benefits to that. It's just use it for that, for this application, the way we've explained how we all integrate and use machines. This is like a day where I'm going in there and I'm doing 10 to 15 rep range, and I'm going to do probably 4 to 5 sets of each one of these exercises.
Excellent. Look, if you're a hard gainer, if you have trouble building muscle, gaining weight, go to mindpumpfree.com. Check out our hard gainer guide. It's totally free. You can also find all of us on social media. Justin is on Instagram at MindPumpJustin. I'm on Instagram at MindPumpDeStefano, and Adam is on Instagram at MindPumpAdam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at MindPumpMedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.